Well, I hope that you have been further instructed and encouraged as you learn about what it means to have faith, what it means to trust God, what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. And it's just absolutely wonderful for us to take time to review, to reflect, to learn lessons which we already know, but they are good lessons for us to reflect on and grow further. To me, as I think of how wonderful it is to have an invitation. This is not a wedding invitation. This is not a birthday invitation. This is far greater, far grander. We have an invitation to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there isn't any invitation greater than this. And this invitation by the Lord Jesus is given to everyone, to those who are humble, to those who are in the darkness of sin. Anyone would be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, as long as a person is a repentant sinner. And we have two examples from the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Peter, as on Luke 5, and then we have Matthew in Matthew 9. And both of them, they will admit, Peter admitted that he was a sinful man. Matthew, of course, was among the tax collectors, and the Lord said that he had come to call the sinners to repentance. So Matthew will certainly be one of them. Right? So when we look at the gospel message, we must remember all those wonderful things. Well, for example, we have the provision of an answer for the problem of sin. How wonderful it is to know that there is provision to the problem of sin from God Himself. And what is the answer? What's the solution? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the answer. He is the gift of salvation Himself, and this is wonderful. And when we have faith in Him, there is the hope of home in heaven. And of course, as we reflect, as we remember, we have to ask ourselves whether we have personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we have to exercise our faith in Him. And then we must continue to walk with Him, continue to trust in Him, and grow in our faith. Now, today we're going to take a little bit of a look into what happens when we are in the kingdom of heaven. And one word that I want to use and to emphasize is the word called blessing. In English, it's called a beatitude, but actually it just simply means a blessing. Right? So we take a look at the blessings which are there, and eight are actually highlighted. I mean, we think in terms of literally hundreds of blessings, but most of the blessings are sort of physical. But there are blessings from God which need to be highlighted, and these are very precious once we get to know them a little bit better. Well, take for example, we have Matthew chapter 5. Now let's take a look, if you can, open the Bible, or if not, listen well and look at what this is. There is the blessing of heaven. So we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So right at the top, the being a part of the kingdom of heaven is to be considered a blessing. Right? So never, never lose sight of this. Take time to thank God all the time to understand and appreciate the blessings that could be given to you and that is yours to enjoy. right? So let's take a look at what are some of those blessings. Well, we take a look. There is the comfort of God. Now, I think we all know how it is to be uncomfortable or to be in distress, right? And the promise of it all is this: the Lord will comfort us. And so we have to ask ourselves how that works. I think we all recognize the challenges in life, and there are difficulties. There are times in our life where there are difficulties, and God promises us comfort. When we are sick, when we are unwell, when we are in pain, what is the best thing that God can give to us? And that blessing is a blessing of comfort. Then in Matthew 5, verse 5, we have also the blessing of an inheritance from God. See, a lot of times we think that inheritance is only for the people who are rich. Then they have got something to leave behind for their children and even their grandchildren. But here is a situation where we have the mention of an inheritance from God. How wonderful it is. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit, as it were, the earth. Well, then we have the Lord's promise of provision. If we were to hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Lord promised that, that we will be filled. Then there's a promise of blessing of mercy. We have even the promise of the blessing of seeing God, as it were. And there's a blessing of peace to be given to us. And once again, a reminder that we have the kingdom of heaven as a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Now, these are wonderful promises. The challenge is, how do we understand these promises when we are on this earth? How do we understand these blessings when we go through difficulties in life? Well, looking at blessings is another way of the Lord Jesus Christ teaching us how we should live our life on this earth. Now, there is another set of Beatitudes. Actually, it's the same set, but it's found in Luke chapter 6. And in Luke 6, which is very similar to Matthew 5, the gospel writer Luke explains these blessings a little bit differently. Luke explains the idea of blessing in the context of life itself. Matthew just classifies them, categorizes them as blessings from God. Luke does it differently. Same blessings, but this time in the context of life. For example, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Right? So we take a look at this very carefully. And in Luke 6 and verse 20, we see these words. And it's important for us to understand how this works out. From verse 20 downwards. Right? The Lord lifted up his eyes towards his disciples. And this is what he said to them. Right? So this is, all the blessings are there, actually. But it is just stated differently. So, Luke addresses the problem of poverty. Are there people who are still poor, even though they are Christians? Yes, some may be quite poor. And I think we know of people who are quite poor. We see people who are poor. We have friends who are poor in India. We have friends who are poor in Myanmar. We have friends who are poor in Kenya. Last year, we invited a Kenyan pastor to come to be with us to see our church over in Singapore. Well, he comes from a very poor background. Let me tell you a little bit about what it means. Now, he lived in a very rural village, and he doesn't have much. So they try to plant crops, And last year was a really tough year for them. First, no rain to help the crops to grow. And so all the crops perish. And so we had to send some help to help them to tide over that season. Otherwise, they won't have anything at all. So what did they eat? Imagine, they eat maize or corn every meal. Nothing else to eat. And they were thankful. So there we go. Blessed are the poor. They really just thank God that they are in God's kingdom. Nothing else. Then came another set of bad news a few months later. The land was so dry. Instead of rain, there came a problem of locusts. Now, locust is like grasshopper, bigger grasshopper. And they are hungry creatures. Grasshoppers don't eat as much as locusts. And they will eat anything, everything that is green. So whatever they had, even the trees and all that were literally eaten away. That was the second blow. And the third blow came recently. The third blow came when suddenly the rains came. But this time the rain didn't come in a small amount. The rain came so huge that where they live, it was a flood. And most of them live in very, very small houses. And some of their houses are not very strong, not like what we have over here in Singapore. We can, you know, live up in apartments, and they're very strong, they're well built. And so this poor pastor wrote and said, "Pastor, I lost everything. My house is gone. I had two goats, they're gone, don't know where they are. And now the government has told us we cannot stay there anymore. We have lost everything. The land that is ours is now gone." Now, so I asked him, "How are you all taking this?" And so he said, "At first, the church from 100 people came down to only 5. Only 5 people kept coming to church. With every passing week, of course, we had to send food over again, maize and corn. They had to go to another village far away to buy that, and they ate that. And so they said, "Pastor, we are all grateful. We have something to eat. We have lost everything. We've become even poorer. But you know what? We are still able to thank God." So this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Blessed are you poor. In other words, even though you may be poor, you can still think of being blessed because yours is the kingdom of God. This is what the Kenyans have taught us. Lost their crops because of drought, lost further because of locusts, lost further because of flood, and they are still able to rejoice. So the numbers in church have come back up again. So the last Sunday, they had about 91 people in church. Though they have got next to nothing, if we don't help to feed them, they will all starve to death. Well, this is the Lord's challenge to us. Can we be there? Blessed are those who are hungry. They shall be filled. Now, that to me is an amazing. I personally don't take corn very much because corn has one of the highest levels of glucose sugar inside. So, I don't take corn at all. But imagine, they will eat corn every day. Now, we see this because when this pastor came to Singapore with us, he couldn't eat our food. So we had to buy him corn every day. And so he will eat his corn, take out one piece of corn at a time. And every meal, he will eat the corn, Monday to Friday, every day. And he was just happy to have two corn in the cob, and that's it. Now, I think most of us will probably not be able to do that very well. But what keeps them going? What makes them happy? Well, the Lord himself. And so the words of Luke were actually very good. Blessed are you poor. Blessed are you if you are hungry now. Blessed are those of you who weep. Why? Because the hope of being in heaven is so real. Maybe on this earth we've got nothing. But at the end of life, we will have heaven. Then, of course, Kenya is not entirely poor. There are many people who are rich. But even when in their wealth, you see, the problem with that, there is a problem of corruption, there is a problem of no regard for God, there's a problem of violence, and so on and so forth. Every time they have elections, people die. And so these are the problems they face. And so as we look at the problems that they face, we can understand what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. Yes, there may be difficulties. Yes, there may be problems. But remember, we have the Lord Jesus. We have salvation. We have a hope in heaven. We have the promise of comfort and everything else. These are blessings that we don't want to take for granted at all in any way. Right? So when the Lord Jesus Christ taught people about blessings, you must ask yourself why he did that. Why talk about blessings? Because it is to remind us, to give us a sense of encouragement, a sense of our assurance that God is with us. Sometimes when we lose this, we lose that. Sometimes amidst pain, amidst sorrow, we feel that we don't have very much at all. Actually, that's not totally true. We have more. It's just that they are not the things we like to have. We may not have physical wealth. We may not have wonderful health. But you know what we have? We have God. We have his assurance. We have his salvation. We have his comfort. We have joy in our heart. That is far better than people who are wealthy and they're very, very, very unhappy. Well, this is true. Just recently, I was out at a restaurant to have lunch. And you know, in Singapore, there are restrictions as to a number of people you can have, and you can only have 5 people. The problem is that there were 6 people inside the family, right? So there would be the grandchildren, there would be the parents, and there would be the grandfather, and so on and so forth. Altogether, there were 6 people, and they were so unhappy. Well, the children didn't mind. But not the grandfather. He was shouting and yelling and screaming because he couldn't put a family together because they were under restrictions. You see? So sometimes we look at all these problems and we grumble, we can get upset, we can lose our temper. You know, we don't have to do that. We can really, really thank God. We can buy food home, we can enjoy the family, we can enjoy our life, we can enjoy the, you know, we don't have so many people dying in Singapore, but in some countries, 1,000 people die in a single day. Now that would be terrible, but we don't have that. And so to me, as we think of the Lord's blessings, we should let our hearts be filled with gratitude, with joy, with assurance that the blessings of God are so very precious. What are some of the things that we should thank God for? Thank God for the safety and comfort of home. We don't have droughts. We don't have locusts. We don't have floods that will literally sweep away all that we have. We don't have to depend on goats and chickens to survive. But if these things were to be lost, it's all gone. I remember helping a Burmese family, and they were saying, Pastor, it would be nice if we have some chickens to keep. Well, first, the chickens can lay eggs. Two, we can sell the eggs. And if the chickens are older, we can either sell them or eat them. Well, for a while, things turned out nicely. And then 1 year later, I was told this man was very sad. And he said, Pastor, all the chickens died overnight. That is this avian thing. They affected all the chickens and they all died just like that. So we're back to nothing. Well, that's our challenge. See, the things of earth, the things of life, anything can go, and we all know it. Today we are healthy, the next day we are not. And as we grow older, we'll find that we cannot hear as well, we cannot see as well, we cannot walk as well, and our health will become worse every passing year. So how can we speak of God's blessings? We can, if our focus is on the right thing. If our focus is on God, if our focus is on heaven, if our focus is on God's presence with us, that will give to us a special measure of comfort and joy to our hearts. So how can we look at the blessings of God? And I think it is important for us to understand. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach his disciples. Remember, the disciples, when they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they had to leave everything. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. They were people who made a living catching fish, selling them. Suddenly, they are without a job. Well, they will have to follow the Lord Jesus. They will have to depend upon the kindness of people. They will have to depend upon the hospitality of people. They will have to depend on many, many things which are not in their control. Well, that was a very, very tough lesson. But those lessons are good lessons, actually, because they teach us how to look at life differently. And we don't have always to look at life in terms of money, in terms of health, in terms of the things we possess. We can think of life in a different way, in terms of joy, in terms of comfort, in terms of the promise of heaven, in terms of God's presence in our hearts and among us. And when we have all these things going, it would be there for us. And our joy in the Lord need not be lost in any way at any time. Well, how can we enjoy the blessings of God then? Well, there are a number of things we can do. Right? Let me highlight three things that we can actually do. Number one, we must grow. Right? In life, we talk about learning, and we must grow in our learning about God. We must grow in our knowledge of God. We must grow in our understanding of God in our life. We must grow in our faith. Children, our focus is that they may grow up strong. They may grow up taller. They will grow up healthier. Now, that's children. What about adults? We're not going to grow taller. Maybe we'll grow fatter. But you know what? There are other ways of growing. We can grow in our knowledge, in our faith in God. And that would be a good way of growing. And when we grow in our knowledge and our faith in God, we will see life differently. We will appreciate the deeper things of life, and they are not always the physical things of life. Right? This is important. Secondly, what we can do is to let all the things we have learned fill our hearts and our minds. See, sometimes we read about God's blessing, the promise of God's blessing, Then what happens is that two or three days later, we forget everything. And that can become a habit. As we grow older, we find that we don't remember things as well as we should. So the challenge is for us to make sure we don't go that way. And one of the things we can do is to let all the things we learn fill the mind, fill the heart, right? And then when we are filled with the promises of God, we will find that our hearts will be filled with hope and our hearts will be filled with joy, right? So then, well, first lesson, grow. Second lesson, fill. The third lesson, we've heard this before, but we need to repeat this again, and that is to learn to trust. We have a wonderful God in heaven. We call Him Father. As children, we all know what it means to trust our parents. Well, you know what? We need to learn how to trust God as our Father in heaven. The danger, of course, is that as we grow older, we feel that we don't need to trust anymore. Children grow up, they no longer trust their parents, they trust in themselves. That could happen to us too. We end up trusting ourselves rather than trusting God as Father. So my challenge for all of us is that no matter how old we grow, right, we will learn how to exercise trust in God as our Father in heaven. And the promise of blessings that He has given to us in the Scriptures, that is a blessing, or these are blessings that we must hold close to our heart, hold dear and precious. And when we are able to do that, we will find that the blessings of God will help us to grow further, fill our hearts and our minds, and along the way, you will find the joy is there, the comfort is there, the hope is there, and we find ourselves lots happier in life than to grumble about all kinds of things. So let our days and evening years of our life, let them be days filled with joy, filled with comfort and hope, rather than to be filled with all kinds of complaints and unhappiness. Let's choose joy. Let's choose blessings from God as our focus. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for so many promises of blessings. And we ask You to forgive us when we take all these blessings for granted. We don't know how to appreciate them as we should. Teach us how we can do that. We pray that You will bless us as we ponder all these blessings. Help us to grow in our faith, in our knowledge. Help us to have our hearts and our minds filled with all these promises of blessing. And then, Lord, we pray that You will teach us how to trust You and to thank You and to praise You for the wonderful God that You are. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.